Well, I first heard of the story when I was quite a bit younger. The idea had been ruminating in my head for the better part of 2 decades before I actually ever sat down to study and write it. So, I was a girl studying literature, and of course I had to read both Manhattan Transfer and The Sun Also Rises. Remember, I was in high school studying American literature and Spanish in the 1960s, and, if anything, it was a time of change and of radical ideas. The country had just suffered McCarthyism, and communism was a dirty word. But I had a progressive English teacher who didn't want us to be ruled by the monotony of the mass media. He told us that we must think for ourselves and encourage us to read Keynes, Marx, Adam Smith, and others when thinking about economics and the government. But to get back to the point, when we were studying the greats of the 1920s and the 1930s, naturally, we had to read both John Dos Passos and Hemingway. We were shocked to learn that they had written many novels based on experiences that they had outside the United States, and that they knew and were fast friends with many of the vanguard artists of the European scene. So, that is when our teacher stressed that just as we know our fellow students, these famous writers and artists all knew each other intimately from their years abroad and then visiting at home. I was entranced. And so I decided that at university I would study the importance of foreign experiences and travels on the American novel of the 1920s, 1930s, and 1940s. I learned that Hemingway and Dos Passos were intimately acquainted with Spanish culture at several points in history in the early and mid-20th century. Dos Passos first visited when he graduated from Harvard in 1960s, and there he met a young gentleman with revolutionary tendencies named José Robles. José, just like John, came from a wealthy and influential family that afforded him many comforts that he would soon come to scorn. Anyway, José took John all through Spain, introducing him to his friends and showing him what José considered to be the true Spanish soul, its music, art, architecture, and, most importantly, its people. It is the romanticism and the idealism in John that I most identify with, and which helped to push me to investigate the story further to eventually be able to write a book about it. It was just so much, and it was just so powerful that I couldn't let it go, much like what happened to Dos Passos and his relationship with Spain. He would forever hold on to an image which never really congealed in the end. A freeze from the history of a country and a culture that kept evolving and moving on until eventually it would rip itself apart and put itself back together again. Hemingway, on the other hand, had an experience much more similar to that which the average tourist had come to expect in Spain nowadays. He came and did some reporting in the country in 1921 and 1922, but it was the Festival of San Fermin in 1923 which would entrance him permanently and cause him to fall in love with the country. He fell in love with bullfighting and would visit the city of Pamplona again in 1924 and a third time in 1925. These trips are the fountain of inspiration that would inspire his novel, The Sun Also Rises. At the same time that Hemingway was in Paris, John Dos Passos was soaking up the movable feast, as Hemingway would come to call it. It is here that the two met. Curiously enough, they were both writers. They had both fought in the First World War, and they both were attracted to communism on one level or another. Dos Passos was ideologically attracted to communism, and for Hemingway, it was much more convenience than anything else. But it was a commonality nonetheless. These commonalities, which at the same time were so diametrically opposed, is another point which I found fascinating. In fact, these same opposing views would help to plant the seeds of strife between the two friends. Hemingway was a jealous man, and Dos Passos had frequently worked for the Soviet apparatchik in New York after his stint in Spain. A convinced and ardent communist, views he held before traveling to Spain, and whose convictions he strengthened through his friendship with Robles, Dos Passos rose quickly in the ranks of the intelligentsia in New York. His book, Manhattan Transfer, was a critically acclaimed piece that would make him even more interesting to the Soviet apparatchik. Hemingway, meanwhile, was in the Florida Keys and was too busy having one affair after another and getting drunk to get much writing done. He was an excellent host in that he loved to entertain and loved to drink and party in a style that was beyond lavish. Things that were more difficult for Dos Passos, as he had a more modest income and hadn't married into money like Hemingway when the latter married Pauline Pfeiffer. Despite this, he always seemed to be uneasy by Dos Passos' success, even when he would eventually eclipse Dos Passos. When I found this out, it was quite interesting and disappointing, since I knew Hemingway had a penchant for egocentrism, but I was hoping that it was just rumors. Especially when you consider that nowadays, most people don't know who Don Dos Passos is, but everyone is acutely aware of who Hemingway is. Anyway, with the advent of the Republic in Spain, Jose Robles left his teaching job at Johns Hopkins in Baltimore as a Spanish teacher and returned to Spain. He would work there for several years until the outbreak of the Civil War. He was recruited due to his knowledge of Russian, which he had learned thanks to the time he spent studying at Moscow. He saw this as his chance to make a difference, something that everyone can relate to, regardless of political ideology. Dos Passos was very vocal of his support of the communist and republican agenda during the war, and was involved in many propaganda efforts meant to spread awareness for the Spanish cause, as it was referred to. The German support sealed the fate of the General Franco as a fascist usurper in the eyes of many, yet a great many journalists did not become immediately involved until the war had been raging for several months. It was as though they could see the evil brewing on the horizon, but thought that if they closed their eyes for long enough, it would all disappear. Hemingway and Dos Passos couldn't have been more excited about the war, though. Dos, seeing it as a way of defending communism and help the liberal cause, and Hemingway viewing it as a brutal fight against fascism in which men were men and sacrifices, though they had to be made, would win the war, leaving the Republic with a saga of glory. What I found quite mind-boggling, and it does sound like something that would be cooked up by Sir Ian Fleming or Tom Clancy, is the way in which the NKVD, the Soviet Internal Affairs Division, and the Soviet media apparatchik functioned together to get many American cultural icons on board with them. Hemingway and Dos Passos both worked for the Soviets, and it is with their propaganda film supported by the apparatchik and the NKVD that they would get the necessary paperwork to get into Spain and get interviews and shots that others would have killed for. And die many did. When Stalin wanted to eradicate some layers of opposition, there was a series of purges throughout Russia that would spill over into Spain. About 3 to 4 weeks before Dos Passos hit the Valencian port, his friend, Jose Robles, more likely than not in direct contact with the Kremlin, was executed by specialists from Moscow. Hemingway was informed of the situation upon arrival due to his friendship, though soaring at the time with John. Ernest only became more arrogant and, something I must admire, John, as soon as he got to Spain and learned that his friend had been shot for treason, after much questioning, at first it was as though nobody had heard of Jose Robles, did all that he could for the family. He also spent time trying to learn the truth of the death of Jose Robles, a task that would take up the extent of his time in Spain. In fact, he only learned the true details because a defector needed his help to get out of Madrid to avoid the same fate as Robles. Despite knowing that Hemingway lied to him, Dos Passos did eventually forgive him and tried to make amends several times. Unfortunately, Martha Gellhorn, both lover and later wife of Ernest, would come in between them at first. Later, Hemingway would be so blind due to his depression, alcoholism, personal insecurity, and jealousy that he would never again have an amicable relationship with Dos. A fact foreshadowed by how the knowledge of the death of an intimate friend of Dos Passos made Ernest feel special. Ernest would lord this feeling over Dos Passos during the extent of their stay in Spain at the Hotel Florida.